Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Oh, no. 7 minutes past six. Welcome to Sports Day. I promised myself, Jimmy, I wouldn't fall into this. I promised. But from 5 a.m. this morning, God knows why I was up that early, until now, it's hard to escape the passion of Melburnians being released into the wild. Have you ever, as we welcome you in, James, seen so many television crosses from pubs and restaurants?
No, I haven't. And I'm happy they're all back opening. And hopefully they can start turning a positive trade. But we're not free yet.
No, we're not.
We've gone from solitary confinement to now we're allowed to play in the yard.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Okay. And they're not bad.
And until my bowls club is open where I can punch a few pints.
Jimmy said punch a few pints. Can we save that place, Lawrence and Matt, behind the glass?
What hat am I wearing right now?
Middle Park Bowling Club.
Yes.
I never saw you as a lawn bowlsman.
Yeah, I am. I've got the merch.
Are you half good?
Yeah, I'm better than half good. I'm Robbie Perella.
I don't know who that is.
He's one of the all-time great.
Well, I don't follow bowls particularly closely. Huge night coming up. We're just about to be joined by Australian sporting royalty in a cricket sense. Pat Cummins, probably the future Test captain.
Good bloke royalty too.
From Abu Dhabi. He's got a day off. He's going to join us. Of course, the T20 World Cup. What are we, only a day away from their opening game against South Africa? Just before we get to Pat, and Lawrence is going to get him on the line, I want to talk to you about the biggest developing issue in sport as far as Australians globally, and that's Ben Simmons. We've talked about him all week, but it's gone from bad to worse. So if you haven't been up to date with this story, Ben Simmons turned up to training today and essentially said he doesn't want to be there. And not just, you know, in a broad sense, which we know he doesn't want to be there, but he said, I've got a stiff back. And according to Howard Eskin, who's a Philly radio host, said that he used the mental health card and said that mentally he wasn't up to training and up to playing. Now, that's since been refuted in different areas. Wojo, the great Woj on ESPN, Adrian Wojnarowski, he's reporting that Simmons is expected to come to the 76ers shoot around on Saturday, which is Australian time, to discuss his playing status. It's a really sad story from where I'm sitting, Jimmy, because has been, up until all of this, much loved and obviously a huge talent.
Yeah, and if he thinks the Sixers are going to buckle, all the language coming out of the Sixers management, Daryl Morey, who's very well respected, he's their list manager, to borrow in AFL terms, because we know in NBA they can be vice president of basketball operations and
titles.
Yeah, they sound like presidential sort of titles.
They do, actually.
He is well respected. He's built up many NBA teams and he's been in the game a long time. And he uses things in a cold and calculated way, which is analytics. He's known to build teams based around analytics. And he's quite openly said today that if this takes 4 years, it'll be 4 years of this sort of stuff. So they're not backing away from it. Doc Rivers, the coach, has said, every single day I'll give him an opportunity to come in here.
Yeah, he said that during the week.
Yep, and he can prove himself and get back with the team.
So where does this go, though? He's got this five-year, $180 million deal, whatever it is. Rich Paul, the biggest agent in basketball, LeBron's agent.
He's a kingmaker.
Well, so, but what's going to happen? It's hard to know how this is going to play out.
Well, one, it'd be damaging for the management group.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because if you can't get this organised, it reflects badly on you, that you've been giving poor advice or you haven't been able to manage your way through this. But also, it reflects badly on Ben and pretty much the Sixers. Well, they're calling his bluff. They're like, how long do you want to sit out of basketball for? Because they've actually said, until we get almost an all-star talent, an elite-type talent, and a package of picks or something that actually comes in our favour as a trade, he's not going anywhere. And they'll just keep fining him. That's how they recoup some of the money. They're going to take it as a loss because
he's clearly not getting the right advice, though. And yes, I'm not taking his excuse of a stiff back on face value, but he's not getting the right advice if after all this has happened, he walks into training and says, oh, I've got a stiff back.
But they would have seen James Harden the way he blew himself up out of Houston last year and got to where he wanted to.
Yeah. James Harden, probably a few more runs on the board, but I take your point.
Yeah, 100%, but this is the playbook he's taking. He's going to make him such a distraction on the team where every single player just goes, get rid of him now.
Mm. Yeah, as I said, the word that I use to describe this is just sad. I don't want to be talking about Ben like this. We all want to be talking about as the all-star that he can be and has been.
Well, I think also off the back of the Olympics, we would have loved to have seen him. But then we should be talking about the first week of Patty Mills going 7-for-7 from three in his debut for the Nets. Giddy setting an Oklahoma Thunder record for 10 rebounds on debut. And then it should be Ben Simmons, Ingles, and we're going, how good? Like, could have that been the Australian basketball team?
I think it was Jared Waitley that said earlier in the week that this has been 6 months of Ben ruining his goodwill. And I think that's
really fair
with Australians. And I think that's probably the perfect way to describe it. That's the negative story surrounding Australians overseas at the moment. The positive story is not just the T20 World Cup, which we're all excited about. We play South Africa tomorrow, Saturday, Australian time. But also the man who's going to help lead us to it and also lead the bowling attack for the Ashes. He's the vice captain. He's potentially the future captain. His name is Pat Cummins, and he joins us from Abu Dhabi. Pat, welcome to Sports Day.
Hey, boys. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty well. What did you make of Wednesday night against India?
It was a good hit out. Against India, always tough to play them. Unfortunately didn't get the win, but I think, a lot of players got quite a bit out of the practice game. I don't know. It was my first game in 4 or 5 months, so I was itching to get out there and felt really good. So moving on to Saturday now against South Africa.
Pat, what'd you take away from the warm-up game regarding the wickets over there? We've seen different tournaments, spin to win. We've seen pace bowlers bowling slower bounces. What was your big takeaway? What'll be effective?
Yeah, it's potentially a bit hard to judge just because it's an outground. I know there'd been quite a bit of training on it, so it was a little bit tired. But, there's two games on most days. It's an afternoon game and a night game. And I think the way the wickets play in those two scenarios are quite different. The day's pretty dry. So, you'll see the slow ball bounces and the, maybe a bit more spin. Or else, the night game's a bit dewy and ball skids on, so might be a bit more, the scoring might be a bit more free.
What are we expecting from the Australian batting lineup? It always gets talked about. We've almost had a host of openers bat in the top six. We look like we've got some more specialists in the side. We've even had the wicket keepers down at nine still batting. Are we going to roll with a long, long batting lineup?
I think the way, the ability for people like Maxwell, Marsh, Stoinis, having the benefit that they can bowl overs provides that opportunity. So we'll see. We don't know the makeup of the side yet, but I think what you will see is a batting lineup that's chockers full of talent, and T20 is a format not for the fearless. You want to go out there, you want to make an impact on the game straight away, and potentially with a couple of extra batters, It gives those openers up the top a bit more of a freedom to take the game on. So, expecting big things. Everyone's hitting the ball beautifully.
Aussie fast bowler Pat Cummins joining us on Sports Day. Jimmy, the most time you would have spent away with teammates on a regular basis would have just been an overnight trip, right? You play on a Friday night.
Yeah, or a training camp
for a week. I'm interested, Pat, a trip like this in Abu Dhabi, how do you go personally, living away from home and spending most of your time in hotel rooms? I assume there's guys that want to annoy people in their spare time. I assume there's guys that just want to stay away from everyone in their spare time. Paint us a little picture of the team dynamic.
Everyone's a little bit differently. Does it a bit differently, but to be honest, for especially the experienced guys here, it's part of life. You get used to it. In a busy year, you might spend 9 or 10 months on the road in hotel beds. So everyone's got a bit of a routine. I think you try and bring some normality to life inside a hotel and a bubble. Like today, we're able to get out and play golf. It's not all too bad. This is one of the easier tours. Got everything around us that we could need. It's a month long and it's a World Cup. You wouldn't want to be anywhere else. So, some of the tougher tours are the ones that go for 5-6 months.
Well, one of the big personality types, especially on the field, James Pattinson, always enjoyed his work. Even when I used to roll down and watch him play at the Junction Oval, he was always fun to watch.
Yep.
Did he surprise you with his retirement around the group?
Yeah, going to miss Big Jimmy. I kind of knew in the background, he's battling away with, he's been battling away with his body kind of his whole career. So, it's disappointing to see just because I know, how good he is. But unfortunately, he's, won't be there for the Ashes going forward. I love playing alongside Jimmy, just a supremely talented bowler and just a teammate you love running alongside. Lifts everyone around him. So great that he's, still going to be playing cricket. Going to miss him. He's a beauty.
You said it's good fun, World Cup, but there's some good fun coming around the corner. Home Test Series, the Ashes. Mm. A couple of shorter balls to the Poms when we roll into them, just even in the T20, just to let them know you're in the area.
I might save them up. We can't wait as well. It's absolutely buzzing. Like, this is, could be the best few months of your cricketing career. It's World Cup into an Ashes doesn't get much better than that, and especially in a home Ashes series, hopefully big crowds turn out. We just can't wait. We feel like it's team's in a really good place. Lots of guys in the prime of their careers, so all set up for a big series.
You mentioned a couple of months, so you got the T20 World Cup, the Ashes, and it feels like we're preparing for another T20 World Cup. How does that go with the planning of this one, or is it just purely focused, let's knock this one over and it could be a completely different squad in about 18 months' time?
All the planning's been really specific to, this World Cup. 12 months ago, we kind of knew that it was going to be here or India. It's been really specific to here. Haven't really looked too far ahead. I know, obviously, the next one's in Australia in about a year, so... Yeah, get through this one, make any adjustments if we have to, but I'd be surprised if the core of this squad wasn't there next year.
You mentioned the adjustments. We're ranked number 7 in T20. It hasn't been our strongest suit while we've been going really well at tests and one day. What is the big adjustment that we need to do to get a better result at this World Cup?
I think, personnel is going to make a big difference. We've got a really, full-strength squad here. Whereas in the past, I think, a lot of the series have been, just after, big one day or test series, and you get various players that might be missing or rested or injured. So I think having everyone here available is a huge, huge plus. And I think, I look around the side, you've got some world-class match winners here that have done it for IPL teams, BBL teams. I think it's just bringing it all together. All clicking here for Australia, and I'm really confident. I think we're much better than our results suggest, and I know the boys kind of want to make amends for a few of those results.
Yes, and we would like you to as well, no doubt about that, Pat. Hey, Pat, I remember hearing from you earlier in the year saying that you thought there was no reason why a fast bowler couldn't be a test captain, and I'm sure you've read articles or heard a bit of commentary around that you're in the conversation, in the frame. Can I just ask, have you naturally found yourself developing your leadership skills in the last 12 months in preparation for something like that could arise?
I think I've been exposed to a bit more, just being vice captain over the last couple of years. It's, puts you closer to conversations with the captains and the coaches and, senior players. And yeah, I think the other part of it as well is I think it's my 11th or 12th season kind of with Australia. So
yep.
Naturally you assume a bit more of a, kind of responsibility when you play more. So, I feel like I've learned a lot and developed quite a bit over the last few years.
And last serious one from me. We've all been talking about Dave Warner's struggles recently, mainly in domestic T20. I know he had a golden duck the other night. I'm so fascinated by this in that batsmen go in and out of form quite regularly, and that's just by virtue of being a batsman, right? I assume bowlers go out of form as well. Now, when batsmen go out of form, they find themselves getting out more easily earlier in their innings. What happens to you, Pat, if and when you do have a form slump?
Yeah, it's similar. A lot of the time, there's nowhere to hide. If you feel like it's not coming out as well, you've still got to bowl plenty of overs. But I think it's probably more benefit for bowlers in that you do get the opportunity to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, you might be hitting the ball beautifully, just haven't got the runs to show for it. And it kind of starts compounding. Whereas, yeah, bowler, you can kind of work it out as you go. You get plenty of opportunity to find form, you know, on the ground, out in the middle. I think that's part of experience. The more you play, you do find those different options to get yourself out of those form slumps, just like a batter. But yeah, I've always found it. One benefit of being a bowler is you kind of can get over it pretty quickly out in the middle.
Now, I assume Dave's going to be one of those guys joining you at the golf course. Any banter flying around about if he pulls one into the water, just relaying it back to his recent form slump?
I might leave that one out, but there's enough.
Who would be the one to deliver that sort of banter? Maxwell, I assume?
Someone who's very brave and out of swing range of Davey. But don't worry, there's plenty of ammo enough for the boys. So it's it's not a very it could be a hostile golf course for a couple of hours there if the boys are on.
Okay, before you leave us, your biggest strength as a golfer and biggest weakness?
Oh, strength, I can swing hard. Weakness... Irons, chipping and putting. Doesn't leave much, does it?
No, it doesn't. I'm really looking forward to seeing and hearing about how this round goes. Pat, great to have you on, mate. We don't get to speak to international cricket as much as we'd like to. That's mainly because you guys are always very busy and overseas. But it's great to catch up. We're looking forward to having you back on our shores for the Ashes and good luck in the T20 World Cup.
Great. Thanks, boys. Chat soon.
Pat Cummins there. Aussie fast bowler, absolute star. You can just see why he's being talked about as next captain. Natural, insightful, gives his opinions.
Skilled, good speaker, as you said.
How do you go on the golf course?
It used to be handy. You just don't have much time to play anymore, and no one's been able to do anything for 2 years. So how do you reckon most people have been going?
That's a pretty good summary, James. Yeah. More sports after this.
It was probably from round 9 against Port. I pinged my third hamstring for this year, and I think it was about my 20th overall. So whilst the hamstrings were hanging in there, I've athletically declined. I always said to myself I'd rather go out slightly early than slightly too late.
Welcome back to Sports Day. That is the voice of retiring premiership captain at the Western Bulldogs, Easton Wood. 14 years. Started in 2009 and then... Wow, 188 games, and of course, helped the Bulldogs lift that illustrious trophy that they were searching for so many decades, only the second premiership captain in the absence, of course, of the great Robert Murphy, and had a year left on his contract. But as you heard from him then, Jimmy, obviously succumbed to injuries in the end.
Yeah, and he relies a lot on his athleticism, and he highlighted that perfectly, because when you think of Easton Wood, you think of that huge vertical leap, him floating across, being the third man up, intercepting the ball and providing
quick
some rebound.
Short distances.
Yeah. Yep. So the fact that he feels like he couldn't do that would affect the way he played the game, which then in turn he thinks he wouldn't be in the best 22 if he couldn't be at his athletic peak.
Did you notice this year his form coming down? Like, obviously he was dealing with injuries.
Yeah.
But he felt like he lost a step, didn't he? And that's nothing against him. He's 32, injuries taking hold.
Well, I thought they managed it really smartly, especially coming into the finals, because they knew he had a lot of injuries. So they just narrowed his role. Like, he ended up becoming a complete stopper. So that's your matchup.
Mm.
Try and put that one to bed instead of being that zone off player. You know, there's my direct matchup. Oh, I can peel off. I can help out Keith. You know what I mean? So they actually identified that he hadn't had a lot of footy through the year and just narrowed his role.
It must be, I mean, I'm sure he's dealing with the thoughts of retirement at the moment, but it must be nice when it all sinks in for him to think about his legacy and what he's left behind and what he was a part of.
Every time he goes back to the Bulldogs, or there's any sort of function room, there's going to be an image of him holding the Premiership Cup.
Yeah, with Bob on the other side.
Bob.
And I thought that was one of the great images of the last 50 years of footy for me.
It's one of those images, you know, every time sometimes you watch a movie or you see something or a piece of action, you find something new in it. Next time you see that image, have a look at Luke Beveridge's face. He's like the proudest smiling dad look on his face. Like,
so he's standing behind the trophy. I'm just trying to picture.
He's standing sort of back right shoulder of Easton Wood.
Okay.
And he's just like, the look on his face is unbelievable. Like, it's the biggest proud dad moment ever. Like, he's not fist pumping. He's not carrying on. He's just
that grin.
He's just beaming.
They make top four next year, the Dogs?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they do as well. I think they'll be right around the mark. More Sports Day coming at you right after this. Don't go anywhere, by the way. Later in the show, we're going to get a full Manukato Stakes and Cox Plate preview from the great Andrew Bensley. Welcome back to Sports Day. More coming up with Jimmy Bartel, including a full preview from Moonee Valley from Andrew Bensley. What's that? In about 12 minutes' time, we'll speak to Ben, so don't go anywhere. But first, it's time for news headlines with the great Tony Tardio.
Good evening. The Premier is warning Victoria will see record high COVID case numbers. 2,189 new infections have been recorded today and 16 deaths, the youngest a man aged in his 60s. 90% of eligible Victorians have now received at least one dose of the COVID vaccine. The land search in Western Australia for missing 4-year-old Cleo Smith has been scaled back almost a week after she disappeared from a remote campsite. Detectives are now focused on searching for a possible kidnapper. Police have questioned Hollywood actor Alec Baldwin after he accidentally shot dead a colleague and injured another on the set of his latest movie in New Mexico. The 63-year-old fired a prop gun, which had been loaded with bullets. And a South Melbourne couple has won $60 million in last night's Powerball draw. They were the only Division 1 winning entry. More news at 7.
Time now for a sports update for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. Tyrepower.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Sam McClure and Jimmy Bartel with you. Hey, Jimmy, I read from Jake Nile in The Age today. I'm quoting his first part. North Melbourne will not bid at pick one on either Collingwood's father-son Nick Dacos or Western Bulldogs' father-son recruit Sam Darcy in what will be a small relief for the Magpies and the Bulldogs. I'm just, as someone that is a member of a club, and when I say member, a member of a club board, I'm fascinated to your thoughts on a club sort of publicly declaring a stance like that. And does it not matter? Does it matter if you're a North Melbourne fan? Would you like it? Do you like them to stick it a little bit to the Magpies?
Yeah, it depends which way you're inclined. But also then the counter to that, which North Melbourne's probably taking, is they're saying that Jason Horne Francis
is the best player in the draft.
You're the best player in the draft, and we're going to honour you with that, which comes with a little financial package as well. But it also...
And I quite like that. I mean, was it... So the Crows bid on Hugo Hagen?
Yes. Yep. But if they had him at the top of their list, they had him at the top of their list. But it's a bit of the old...
Yeah, but the Bulldogs would have... The Bulldogs would have said, well, you know, good luck on the person who went pick two is completely out of my head. Riley Thilthorpe. Thank you.
Sounds like you got a mouth guard in when you say Thilthorpe.
Yeah, so then you've got to explain to Riley that, well, we've taken you first, but we didn't actually think you were the best player.
Yeah, so there's a bit of that at play.
I can see North's argument.
Yeah, it's a bit of that at play, but and then it comes down to picks two and three, which is the Giants and the... who's got pick three?
Gold Coast.
Gold Coasting Suns.
Yep.
What they do there, because both those sides could do with a Nick Dacos or Darcy.
So let me ask you this then. If I agree, you know, if them declaring that stance is fine. If you were a North Melbourne member, would you prefer that they announce that to you in a letter to members or on the website?
They pretty much have, haven't they? By announcing it to everyone.
Mm. Well, they've announced it through Jake.
Yeah, Jake's
he's the best. I'm
Original two scoops.
I'm just interested in...
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, if you're the
I agree with their stance, by the way. Like, I
do too.
I'm just interested in the optics of how you tell people and if you tell people. Because a lot of clubs just would have gone, no, we'll wait till the draft night.
I get the sense under David Noble, and we've spoken to him on this station, is that he doesn't see the sense in playing games. He just, you say what it is, you be open, you be clear. They've been asked, obviously, Horne Francis has been interviewed a number of times, you know, doing the old, going through the draft camp sort of stuff, which I'm not sure why he's doing all that stuff anyway, if we already know he's pick one. What's he proving? Why do they need his 20-meter speed test?
Well, those tests are overrated. You know that much as anyone.
So why is he doing it?
Well, no, it's going through, jumping through the hoops that he needs to jump through.
Yeah,
right?
Actually jumping through hoops. seriously, why is he doing it?
Yeah.
He's the number one pick. You might as well just get him fitted out for his club suit. That's where he should be doing.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, Gold Trip out of the Cox Plate after failing to satisfy the veterinary team from Racing Victoria. You got questions for Andrew Bensley? Are you coming armed?
I have so many questions.
The great Andrew Bensley to give us a full preview on a huge weekend of racing. It's next on
Sports Day. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, Canstar's most trusted energy retailer, and the new Kia Niro, the electric SUV range, which is now landed. You only go to one man this time of the year, our own racing expert, Andrew Bensley. It is a huge weekend, one of my favourite weekends on the racing calendar, I reckon, Jimmy. Manicato Stakes tonight at 8:15. It's a weird race. It's an interesting field, I must say. And then the Cox Plate, the big one, tomorrow. AB, welcome.
Yeah, g'day to you, Sam and Jimmy and listeners. And I think what we've been waiting for is some rain. And talking with Marty Sinan out there at the Valley in the first couple of races, the Bureau's telling him that the rain isn't going to arrive until around midnight tonight. So okay. The Manicato Stakes could be run on running brisk time on a good three track. So we'll be all over that in an hour, a couple of hours. But I will say that the rain, if it comes, Marty's confident that it'll be sort of around that soft six range early, and then it depends really what the showers do through the day. So maybe, you know, we're going to get through tonight anyway, Sam. That's the good thing for night racing.
Andrew, let's start with the Manicato. And Sam and I are off air. We've had the grey leads out. We've scratched a few out. We've circled a few others. You go to the experts in the paper. Every single one of them's got a different winner.
Yeah, I think that's right, Jimmy. I think tonight and even tomorrow's Cox Plate, you could circle a few numbers for mine. I know Kieran Maher and David Eustace have got multiple runners. Even when I did a show on Thursday or Wednesday night with Kieran, and he said, don't even rule out a way game. It's an outsider in the race, but she's capable. She's got a tricky draw to deal with from the 1,200-metre start, but if there's a little bit of pace up there, he's certainly not ruling out from flashing late. I'm a bit of a Lombardo fan. I love winners. And we know that, you know, there's been a lot of discussion whether this is a true Group 1 field. Maybe it's not because of the Everest being so close to it this year. But Lombardo, just Mick Price is a trainer that really sets them. And the last three wins have been encouraging to give it a crack, go and have a go, and the barriers just reach all right for mine.
So are we taking the field and just relaxing and watching the race for our quaddie? Is this what you're telling us?
Depends how well you're going. I will say that I've backed Lombardo, but I've had a little bit at odds on Expressway for Nick Ryan. Again, drawn tricky, but likes it out there. Won the Chautauqua from a wide draw, and Nick's pretty happy being out there. It just allows the horse to finish off without being held up, and that's what can happen in these races, that you always get two or three back on the inside that don't end up getting run. So I've had something small on Express Pass as well in the Manicato, because as you're right saying, Jimmy, you've got about 10 circles there at the moment.
I do, actually.
Yeah, we've got to reduce those, AB. Hey, tomorrow, is anyone capable? Well, I'm sure plenty capable. Will anyone spoil the Zaki party, in your opinion?
Yeah, yes, no doubt. I think this is a race of many chances, Sam. James McDonald has been doing his isolation there at Yarrawonga. He's going to come and ride. He's got great confidence in Zaki. But look, I think that this is a cracking race. You know, there's probably Corsign Mav and maybe Dallas and that you could rule out, but I reckon any of the others can be in the finish. What's wrong with any of the others? Every time I see the replay of the American win of State of Rest, I'm saying that Joseph O'Brien's got a really strong finishing type, really accelerated, looking at it, you know, I guess the only hesitation if it ends up being soft, but the horse has got reasonably strong two-year-old form on soft, and I know Joseph isn't too worried if the rain does come. But now, the only thing I'd say, Sam, if the rain comes and affects the track, then probably either comes out or just doesn't appreciate the soft. But I think all the others could easily win.
Now, I'm going to give him a bit of self-indulgence. There's a horse running around in race four on Saturday, and it's called Dosh.
Oh, please.
Is Sam going to be crying in his Weet-Bix again, or is he got an actual legitimate chance? It's just not all hype.
Well, the only lead I can take is Graeme Begg, and he's a trainer that took non-conformist into a Caulfield Cup and ran a very, very good second. Graeme Stable's up and about, Jimmy. So he could have easily gone to tonight. I don't know whether the ownership really were happy with it or some small portions of that, but Dosh goes to the Red Anchor tomorrow. I reckon Generation's probably the one you've got to beat, but if Dosh can come across from that just slightly tricky draw, then it's got to be going mighty close, just off what Graeme Begg wanted to do here.
Hey, AB, we love having you on, and we love our racing on this show, and I don't mean to be political at all, but the no crowds at Moonee Valley tonight or tomorrow, I mean, I know that the Moonee Valley Racing Club was handcuffed by the government restrictions, so it's a moot point, I know, but geez, it would have been great just to sneak a few in, even if not tonight, then tomorrow.
Yeah, oh, look, I think all of us agree, but it comes down to, you know, government announcement, Sam. That's where it simply sits. Mm. So the government made a decision regarding Flemington, that's what it is. And Moonee Valley are obviously disappointed that the crowd, particularly tomorrow, that they couldn't have 5,000 or 10,000, but it really came down to the government timing. They've done a lot of special things for members and as much as possible, Sam, but... yeah, there's nothing like, you know, Melbourne Cup Day with 10,000 is going to seem a bit strange, but at least there'll be some atmosphere.
Andrew, everyone who has kids say they don't pick their favourites, but they really have a favourite. Is this your favourite weekend of racing, or is it Derby Day? Is it Caulfield Cup, or you big Melbourne Cup man?
Jimmy. Yeah. No, I love them all, Jimmy. It's very hard to spread as far as I look. The Cox Plate is always a strong race. We, you know, in recent times, we know it was dominated by Winks, but it is the Weight for Age Championship. You look at what Derby Day offers at Flemington next week with the calibre of the 3-year-olds in the sprint and also in the Derby. And yeah, Derby Day is pretty hard to beat, but this Cox Plate, it's always. And always in the history has been a beauty, and it will be tomorrow.
Righto, AB. This is where you earn your big bucks here. Everyone's just going to turn up their radio just a little bit. Now, you don't have to give us your top three if you haven't got them, but you can just give the winners if you want. But I want tonight, Manicato at 8:15. I want the Cox Plate tomorrow, and then any other thing that you like around the country.
Well, certainly, as I said earlier, I think Lombardo wins the Manicato tonight. What finishes close to it? Well, I've had something small express pass, and I reckon maybe Jonker is the other one.
Okay.
And expect away game to be flashing late there. Probably that's the Manicato. I'm tipping State of Rest to win the Cox Plate. I think that every time I see the replay, as I said earlier, of this Joseph O'Brien horse, they rate it maybe a better win of Adelaide's in America prior to that horse coming across and winning the Cox Plate. So, State of Rest to win. Zaki, Very Elegant, Animo, they're all going to be around the placings. There's going to be a few weaving there late. And I will say that in the Moonee Valley Gold Cup, if the forecast rain arrives, Miami Bound last year's winner is going to be extremely hard to beat. Mm. But I'm all over Pondus for Lloyd Williams and Robert Hickmont. So I think Pondus has made great fitness improvement talking to the team since the Bart coming. So that's my tip in the Moonee Valley Gold Cup. That's race 8, number 10, Pondus.
Race 8, number 10, Jimmy. Just make sure you get all these tips down, please, because you're going to be asking me for them.
I reckon he's a floating. I reckon he's a floating artist fan, but I'm a Pondus fan.
Are you a floating artist?
Yeah,
you can pick him. AB, great to have you on. We love this time of the year, and we love chatting to you about it. Good luck tomorrow and tonight, and we'll chat to you next week.
No, good luck with Dosh also, Sam, and we'll talk
Thanks,
to you next
AB.
Week.
Andrew Bensley there, the only man you speak to this time of the year. He is as good as they get on radio. It's going to be an exciting weekend. So there you go. So State of Rest, one of these unknowns that we've talked about during the week. Jimmy, AB likes the international form and has tipped State of Rest to upset Zaki tomorrow. Very interesting stuff. Of course, Gold Trip out of the Cox Plate, failing to satisfy that veterinary team from Racing Victoria. We're going to check all the odds of those races and plenty more next with Duncan McRae from Bluebet.
It's time for a Bluebet odds update. Bet same game multis with Bluebet. Download the apps today. Gamble responsibly.
Oh, coming up to 7 o'clock, which means we are, what, an hour 20-ish away from the Manikado Stakes. It's one of the great nights in racing, one of the great weekends. We've said it all night. Duncan McRae from Bluebet's going to give us the best punters preview. Dunk, welcome to you. What say the numbers tonight?
Yeah, good evening, Sammy, Jimmy, all the punters. Yeah, massive night at the Valley over the next 24 hours. Well, let's go to the Manikado, boys. Race 7, Savatoxel, an easing favourite, $5. The big money's been for Lombardo. He's been $9 into $5, and a bit of money round for Ingratiating, $11 into $9. But Lombardo, the favourite to take out the Manikado tonight, boys.
Who do you like there, Dunk? Just your thoughts?
Oh, I'm going to go Ingratiating, boys. I think Craig Williams has had a little tough time. I think he's going to turn it around heading into the big race tomorrow.
Has it fluctuated much? Because Sam and I can't pick a winner. We've circled about five or six names.
Has AB, you said just before, it's just a brutal race to be hunting on.
Yeah, is it? Has it been fluctuating with you guys?
Oh, we're most of the money, Jimmy's been Lombardo, as I said. He went up $7 now into $5. So 75% of the money we hold at the moment, number six, Lombardo.
All right. Is it any clearer for the Cox Plate? Is it Zaki Party, as we've sort of described it? Ash Barty.
You stole that from me.
I did. I absolutely hijacked it. Is it Zaki? Is it Very Elegant? Is it something else?
Oh, I think it's Animo, boys. That's been the best back runner. We went as much as $8 better in the week. Now into $3.90. Zaki's still favourite at $2.90. Very Elegant at $5. But the three-year-old Animo, as we mentioned, Craig Williams with the blue Ferrari.
Yes.
Can it do it?
It's nearly giving. Zaki's nearly giving it 10 kilos.
The blue Ferrari on Blue Bet, and Dunk's given someone $8 on Animo earlier in the week. How's that person feeling, Dunk?
Oh, well, you know, the overs gods, boys. Whenever you get the overs, it never comes off. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. But, yeah, good money for Animo with Craig Williams on board.
Thanks for coming on, Dunk. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, boys. Take care. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Duncan McRae from Bluebet, the only place to bet. Make sure you are gambling responsibly. Wow, we are here. We've done it. We've got through the week. You're not doing anything tonight.
Nah.
I'm going out for dinner. We've got a 90-minute sitting. It's going to be the greatest 90 minutes of the last 18 months.
It's school canteen style, in and out.
And you know what? I couldn't be happier about it.
No, I'm not in a rush.
Great to have you on this week. It's been a pleasure the last couple of weeks. Let's do it again soon. Enjoy the weekend.
Sure.
Jimmy Bartel joining us on Sports Day. Jared's on his much-deserved annual leave. And you are about to enjoy your much-deserved freedom on your weekend. Enjoy, Victoria.